Great show for you today on Saya Healing TV. Nadine Artemis. Wow. She talks about the beauty oral connection. Who is making the connection between this and your skin and your beauty? She is. And wait till you hear about her amazing book, Renegade Beauty. But in this episode, I'm telling you, you'll see when you watch the episode, she changed me on something, and you're going to figure it out when you watch the show. And by the way, she's actually joining us too on our fast on June 10th through the 14th. And I believe her program that she lays out in the show is perfect to do before, during, and after a fast, because it resets your microbiomes. Huge connection she makes between here, how you look, and your gut. Stay tuned for this episode. All right, welcome to the show. I promise you this is going to be a good one. I mean, who is putting together beauty and oral health? Well, nobody, even myself until now. That's how I sought this gal out. So, well, welcome to the show, Nadine Artemis. And I'm going to let you tell your story, because the first question I said is like, who's doing this? You wrote a book called Renegade Beauty. And I'll tell you, you know, obviously we're going to learn more about this connection between the body, between our oral health and beauty. And, you know, you said one thing when we were just talking, you know, you said, gosh, you know, you can't have beauty until you have health. And it's true, boy. I'll tell you, you know, when I was sick, number one, I don't even know that I cared, but it's like, you know, I was not, you know, beautiful. You know, as I got my health back, beauty came back. So there is a connection. You made it in your book and you're making it now. So tell us your story. How did you get into this? I mean, all the way back as a teenager, I believe.
Yeah, it was as a teenager. It was, I think it was because when I was 18, I could actually do something about it, right? Because you're almost an adult. But I, in my youth, actually, where you see my background here, this was this land, this area was like where I camped and cottaged, not this lake. But so I, to get here was so important. But in these kind of woods areas, I was always concocting and mixing, and I was pressing and smushing and pouring mud on me. And then if I wasn't in the woods, I'd be in my mother's bathroom cabinet mixing her perfumes and lotions together. And so I just, there was something so innate in me. And then when I was in grade 9, we had to do a science fair project. And, you know, I didn't know what to do. But then this book fell out at me at the library, and it was like, how to make cosmetics. And I was like, oh, this is so exciting. Being in grade 9 too, just like also wanting to wear makeup and do all that kind of stuff. So it had an exquisite chapter on perfumes. And I was like, oh, I had no connection to what was making those things smell. So I understood that it was, you know, started in a few countries, but ancient Egypt was a huge place for that. And they were refining distillation. And I saw that all these things came from plants, and it had suggested to find essential oils at the health food store, because that's what would be the modern distillation equivalent. So my mom took me to my first health food store, and I smelled ylang and jasmine and blood orange. And I was like, whoa, those aromas spoke to me in a way that the perfumes didn't. So I recreated Nina Ricci's L'Air de Thon, and I did well. And then that was sort of that. And then, you know, then there was the green, a little bit of greening of beauty. And we had like things like the Body Shop.
Yeah.
But then, and I thought that was natural, but then when I was 18 and I was at university, which is a real moment of like, you're really making your own food. And I was like, hey, what's going on here? And I was skipping school one day, and I was actually watching a show that Lisa Bonet was on. And she was talking about not eating like animal products for health and the environment. I was like, whoa, this is new. Cause again, this was, you know, early 90s, this kind of information wasn't out. And so really from that moment forward, it took about a month, but I stopped eating processed food, I ate organic, and I really educated myself on how to read food labels. And that just led to me questioning these green beauty products that, you know, the fuzzy peach bath oil had never been impeached. And the pineapple in there was no pineapple. So it was total BS. And I started making my own food and all my own body products. And then, but I had to smell things that I couldn't get a hold of, because I was reading these, a lot of books from the 18th century Europe, where they were remaking ancient recipes for then. And that's before synthetics came along. So then I was wanting to smell things like Immortelle, Angelica, And so I contacted different countries and distillations, and then I was receiving in raw materials that I could just tell were so much better. And from there, I dove into importing and creating, and then I graduated from university, and then I opened up North America's first full concept aromatherapy store, and here I am.
Yeah, so it's safe to say you've been creating product for a long time.
So
you know what the heck you're doing, obviously. I mean, that's an interesting story, honestly. I you know, it's fascinating that you started so young. I mean, you remind me of my daughter, actually. She stands out with her college friends. She's always helping them with their health. She's always telling them how to read ingredients and why they should eat better. And matter of fact, eventually, even the ones that like shun her end up coming to her going, okay, I'm ready to listen, right? Because they have something going on and they know she does life differently. That you were my daughter. So I think she'll just have a lot in common with you. But yeah, look, okay, so let's talk about the oral connection here, and we'll move into the beauty. And you can even talk about some of your products that really made a difference. But the oral component here, how did you get involved in that? And I mean, how did you make the connection with oral health and beauty? Of course, I make the connection here. That's why I was so attracted to your message that, you know, 85% of the disease starts in the mouth.
It does. It's so connected.
What pulled you in here? Because few people understand that.
Well, back then, I was also diving into how do I care for my body? Like on every level, I was reading, you know, all kinds of books. I wouldn't have to like go to a doctor again because I saw that that wasn't useful for, you know, general things like I have a stomach ache or whatever. There was a huge gap in books and resources on dental care. You know, you could only get like maybe mercury, but what do we do about everything else? And so, you know, I had neglected my teeth for a bit. I go to what was a holistic dentist back then, and a cavity had formed. I had mercury fillings. As soon as I heard about mercury being an issue, I had them all removed at 22. But my hygienist was like, you can actually, you know, heal the cavity. Which was like, what? You know, I'd never heard of that. You think your teeth are formed and then that's it.
Yeah.
And they're static. But she was like, go home and with all that stuff that you make, start putting in your mouth. And I was like, oh. So that was when I first made the formula Healthy Gumdrops. Oh, sorry, Happy Gumdrops. We had to change the name. So they're happy.
Really? That's unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I went for my x-ray and it was gone. So that was really intriguing to me, but I felt there was a huge gap in knowledge. So I studied it. And I really, you know, looked at the history of dentistry, and I uncovered so many great pioneering maverick dentists, like Dr. Hal Huggins, who had been talking about mercury since the 60s.
Yeah.
So, you know, eventually I got to meet with him and interview him. Yeah, and I found this book of his. It was kind of a rare find. It was called Don't Raise Ugly Kids, or How Not to Raise Ugly Kids. It was just a funny title.
Well, and, I mean, I thought I read all his stuff.
Yeah, find it used. And there was one chap, it's about a few things. The teeth having a lymph system. So that was fascinating. And I went on to look at Dr. Steinman's work, and he was a normal dentist, and he would get allergies and so badly he couldn't practice in August every year because of allergies and stuff. So, and this is like late 50s, early 60s. So he removes all dairy and white bread and that kind of stuff. And he totally got rid of his allergies. And he was like, okay, there's something going on with the body connection. He went deep into the dental history, and he found that there were people that believed it would be systemic and that there was a connection. But in the 40s, the acidogenic theory of tooth decay, they decided that was going to be it. So it's just about acid causing cavities.
Right.
You know, and they let go of the systemic. But he quit dentistry and went fully into research. And there's thousands of tests where he found the dentineal fluid system. It's called the DFT. So what he found out was that, you know, through chewing, we activate glands, which activates, it all goes back to the hypothalamus, right? So then that gets activated. And then we send this fluid through our bodies that comes back up to our mouth. And when it reaches the tooth, that blood turns into lymphatic fluid, and it gets pumped up to the surface of the teeth, and it goes onto the tooth surface like a microscopic sweat. And this is what harmonizes the saliva and the microbiome. Now, when we experience stress, hormonal stress, stress, toxic stress, that kind of stuff, or we eat a lot of sugar, this reverses this flow. And instead of it being up like a tree that brings sap up to it, it reverses and then it sucks like a straw into the tooth, bacteria and fungus from the mouth. And that is the genesis of a cavity being created. And so through his work and other dentists like Dr. Melvin Page, we see that we need to keep the blood sugar normal, and that by even adding different minerals, we can reverse dental stuff. I
have two questions. Yeah, and yes. I totally know that, and I knew that that whole system that you described. What's in the happy gumdrops?
So it's peppermint, cardamom, thyme, linalool, rose, otto, oregano, clove, and cinnamon. And what's so cool now with the study of the microbiome is that we now know that those oils, those plants, are quorum sensing inhibitors, which is doing gene expression and gathering to colonize and then creating biofilm. The modern science through the microbiome study looking for quorum sensing inhibitors, QSI. And so what's so cool about those oils, they now know, is that that will clear up pathogens, tidy up the mouth, but work with the beneficial bacteria.
Yeah,
so that's perfect.
And it's probably easy to get kids to suck on those. You know, I had to comment actually when we first started, your background. I literally, your screen was a little fuzzy. So I said, I thought you were sitting either in front of a picture or I thought you were sitting in front of a green screen. It's actually your lake. I was like, so what lake is that? Just ours. That's amazing. I said, I want to bass fish in that lake. I got really excited when I saw that. But anyway, so it would be hard for me to work with that behind me. I think
it is.
Anyway, so this is a fascinating concept. Probably the first time many of our listeners and viewers have actually heard the concept that, you know, this lymphatic system and how that reverses, and, you know, how if we get it moving in the right direction, obviously we can, you know, get things, you know, that this, like you said, almost like a sweat coming out of the tooth and affecting the oral microbiome. So let me ask you this, then. How does a crown that so many people have in their mouth, I mean, does that smother the whole tooth? Would it affect, you know, that that flow? And what if you have a lot of crowns? Or is it just the fact that, you know, you have still half your teeth? I'm asking this question because I'm going to get people going, my teeth are crowns, or how's that affected?
Well, the crown, yeah, that's sort of been cut off, but it is still alive. So there'll be some kind of activity, but it's sort of like, I don't know, the word like truncated is sort of the word that's coming up for me. So it's like half, you know, not alive. But the root canal, for example, not a good situation at all.
Bad.
Like 100% of the time. And one of my favorite dentists, who I've also had the pleasure of working with, is Dr. Stuart Nunnally. And before Dr. Hal Huggins died, they worked on an independent study on root canals, and they removed textbook perfect root canals from people, didn't show up on an x-ray, and then they sent them, and 100% of them had severe bacteria. So that's pumping into our bloodstream all the time, and it can never be sterilized. So it's a good concept. Oh, let's keep the tooth in the mouth, but it doesn't work. It's you know, it's impossible to sterilize. So it's a dead thing sitting in your mouth, and it's not good.
I mean, no doubt, Nadine, I have those, when I'm working with someone who's challenged in their health, we're getting rid of root canals, because I've watched it be a source to cancer. I've watched it be a source to many different diseases. Those anaerobes that are hiding in there, they eventually wear out the immune system and drive autoimmune. And then cavitations. I just did a show probably 2 months ago, mouth-body connection. We talked about cavitations. Happened to me, happened to my wife.
Me too.
Yeah, tell your story on that, because I knew there was something to pull you into the understanding here. Once you understand the connection of this, and as you're going to point out, it affects our beauty as well. And my wife can tell her story, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I've known about cavitations. I just didn't have like the time to go to the dentist that I wanted, which is in Texas, because we're in Canada, but I went and I got those cavitations cleaned out. So, you know, we're very healthy, but I could tell something was pulling the immune system down. And because now, right, I'm a few decades into that. I had my wisdom teeth removed when I was 20-ish. So that's what happens. So whenever we've removed a tooth extraction, it's standard protocol to leave the periodontal ligament in, and that the gum grows over and then that's rotting. Yes. And so over 90% of people that have had an extraction have a cavitation, and it doesn't show up on an x-ray until it's 80% there. Like, so you have to get them checked, but you have to know, a normal dentist, your childhood dentist is going to be like, what? They might not even know the word cavitation. So you have to go to the right person. Then it doesn't hurt at all, actually, because the tooth's already been removed. So they check it if it's there, and then they scrape the bone of the decay, allow a blood clot to form and fill it out. And if you've gone to the right dentist, they should inject with ozone and hopefully as well your own plasma, which is called PRP therapy. And then that brings all your own stem cells to help regenerate the area, and it heals quite quickly. Another thing that I knew is I knew I had a tooth when I had to get a cavity on it. I think it was about 30. And the dentist said, ooh, that was so close to the nerve. It was almost a root canal. So that tooth was a bit of an issue. And then later it came to bother me a bit. But then when I stopped eating gluten, it didn't bother me at all. But then I kind of turned off my warning system because I was like, okay, it's, I know it should come out because I don't think it's alive anymore. But, you know, life's busy and we go on. And then I went and had the x-rays and had it checked. And it had, so it wasn't a root canal, but it wasn't alive. And it had created a hole in my sinus. And I didn't have any sinus issues. So I, again, I think we're healthy, but then something was pulling me down that I wasn't totally aware of. And I had it removed and, oh my God, greatest thing ever.
Let me tell you, I mean, the same thing recently happened to my wife, right? She had this nose thing. The sinus was constantly draining and she started snoring, right? I mean, my wife never snored, and she kept thinking, we moved to Utah. It's the difference in the microbiome and the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was getting worse. And then this sore was not going away. So I got a little nervous and I said, what side did you have wisdom teeth out? Now, if you know my wife, which you don't, if I tell her to make a right, she'll make a left. If we come out of an elevator and our room is right, she'll always go left. So she said to me, no, I had them out on the right and this is on the left. So, okay, so I stored that information. Finally, I was like, you know what, get a cone beam x-ray. And cone beam to me is the best way to look at these things. And it's gotten so much better, right? We use Cavitat machines and, you know, different ways, but
you know it.
So she got a cone beam and sure enough, right there on the left. Okay. That's where she got her wisdom teeth out. It was on the left. It was, you know, these things take 25, 30 years, right? Just like, and then she went to our dentist and Jerry, who I did the interview, like I said, just mouth-to-mouth connection. Right. And by the way, I have to compliment you. I thought I would have to like add to what you said. You did it right on, right?
Thank you.
Pointed out. Yes, bravo, right? And then you said about getting the PRP, PRF in this case. There are some stem cell activity. So that's exactly how you do it, right? But anyways, she got it out. It was up. She had all this inflammation up in her sinus cavity. And they cleared it out. Okay, here's your connection. I mean, already there's a difference. She even said, oh my gosh, my eyes are open. All right. I mean, the inflammation is going, right? So beauty is connected to the oral. I can, you know, guarantee it. I wanted her to come on one of the shows and tell that story, but the nose thing is cleared up. She's not snoring anymore. And now her neck is starting, just things are starting to release. You know, but this is just recent. So,
And I'm sure you know that as well. But 90% of all, sorry, I'm echoing a bit, but 90% of all breast cancer cases have, if you have a root canal, then the lump is usually on the same side. Now, I do want to add that just because you have a root canal doesn't mean that's going to be the result of it, just that. There is a correlation for women that have developed that. And there's also a doctor in Europe, Dr. Joseph Isels, who has been treating cancer for decades. And he always insists that all root canals are removed before treatment begins.
Yeah. And I listen, I've had a few cases. Actually, I can think of two who were physicians that I helped. One was throat cancer and one was a breast cancer. And they went to a lot of different practitioners. And I started asking just a few questions. In both of those cases, it was a root canal on that side. And yeah. I mean, just like that. Actually, there was another one, I just thought of another one. It was a thyroid case. It was thyroid cancer, and nobody got to the cause, right? I mean, they did all these amazing treatments, all these nice alternative treatments, different things, but nobody looked to the cause, which was in this case, Rukin. I think one of those was a cavitation.
You know, right. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. And then some, you know, I think it was even Hal Huggins that said he thinks that cavitations might even be more threatening to our immune system than a root canal.
Yeah.
But they're both, you know, not good. But, and also, I just wanted to add that also, if you're told you need a root canal, it's not always the case either. If you're told you need your wisdom teeth out, it's 60% of the time not needed either. We do need our wisdom teeth. And so the prophylactic removal, you know, I wouldn't always sign up for that.
Yeah, I'm very cautious about wisdom teeth, just yanking wisdom teeth, right? I mean, if they're crooked, they will cause infection because food gets trapped. I mean, there's truth to that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. If, like, I have one up here, it's up there. I'm not touching it. It's impacted fully. Nothing's not even going close to that. So leave them if they're not causing a problem. That's my advice. And I'll probably get a couple emails from a couple dentists who disagree with me. But I just watch people's health erode, you know, because of these hidden things. And again, it does take 25, 30 years. And all of a sudden, you know, now the reason I guarantee you, there's people watching this that can't fix their gut. They've been on every bacteria. They eat better than anyone they know, and they can't fix their gut. And it most likely is some type of hidden infection, 80, 90% of the time, right here in the mouth. So, absolutely. Well, I made the beauty, oral beauty connection for you because my wife was, you know, would be in his testimony to that, but make it even stronger for us.
Okay. Well, yeah. So if we have, you know, things going on in our mouth anyway, like just our basic daily oral care, and, you know, if we've got bleeding gums and just those daily things or receding gum lines, a lot of that can present health challenges later. And it can just affect if we don't feel good, it's hard to feel beautiful. So you want to clear all that up because when we talk about beauty too, I just want to add, it's also about, you know, it's about more of the communion of beauty and feeling it. We're not just talking about applying cosmetics or, you know, something like that. Cause we're getting into the deeper aspects of feeling good.
Well, you know, I had a scientist on one of my past shows and he talked about the microbiome and the skin microbiome. The fact is the bugs on your skin talk to the bugs in your belly.
Yes.
and the bugs in your mouth. So,
yes.
And it, there's a connection here, right? And it also connects to the brain, right? So when you affect the skin bacteria, you affect your oral bacteria and your gut bacteria. And when you affect your gut bacteria, you affect your skin bacteria. So a lot of people's skin issues are in fact intermicrobiome issues.
Exactly. I mean, it's sort of a strange concept that we're teeming with trillions of microbes, but they're essential to our skin and to our beauty. And really, the modern day skincare, all that stuff, all those bottles, all those regimes are really mutating our microbiome. So if that alcoholic acne chemical cream or the alcoholic toner or even washing with soap, we now know from studies of the microbiome that surfactants lodge themselves into the stratum corneum, which is the very thin top layer of the epidermis. And they are like microscopic splinters and they stay there even after rinsing. So we're talking about years of surfactant buildup on a microscopic level. That alone can create dysbiosis. So I always say, like, we don't need soap except for like pits and bits and like scrubbing our hands. There's no need to like soap your arm or your face ever.
So what do you like to use? And before you say that, I want to remake the point. When you destroy and affect this microbiome on your skin, you're affecting the microbiome in your gut. There's a communication. So, you know, there is this body beauty connection. So talk about what we should use in our skin. Talk about, I want you to go here, so, and I think it'll go here with this question, but sealing. You know, you talk about, you know, in your book about sealing these protective barriers, the skin, the mm-hmm. oil, the gut, mm-hmm. you know, and that's a big deal. I know that's a big deal because I watch people get more and more toxic because their barriers aren't sealed. So talk about that, but talk about how we care for our skin. We'll start here because this is the first barrier.
Well, and I'm sure many of your people are know the term leaky gut.
Yes.
So that's when we have microscopic perforations in the gut and then things escape. So just with our skin, we can have that too. So whether that's on a microscopic level with the surfactants or on a more obvious level with eczema or psoriasis or acne. So pretty much, if we're going to generalize, everything we're doing for modern skincare is disrupting that system, disrupting the beauty of that system. And we really want to let our bacteria be the beautician. We can let them micromanage our skincare and sort of get out of the way. So we want to allow our innate intelligence and then stop doing the stuff that's harming us. And then it gets pretty easy after there's a bit of course correction.
People are going to say, well, wait a minute, if I'm not using soap, I'm going to fix. So what do you use?
So we go to the ancients and we find oil. Beautiful oil, cold press oil. My favorite is jojoba because it's synergistic with sebum. It's a liquid wax, so it never goes rancid. You're not dealing with free radicals, and it helps to unclog pores. Even though I know those people with cystic acne are going to be like, no, but it really cleans up. And so you just take a cloth, put a squirt of water on it, squirt of oil, and then you can just massage that in. It's not even that hard. You're just like wiping your face.
Can I do
and
that?
Then you rinse. You can do that, men, women, everybody. And then you just take one more squirt and that's your moisturizing part and you're done. Now, of course, some people might to go like layer on a few more serums or creams as long as they're pure, you know what I mean? But that's essentially all you need to do. And you can oil your body after, but you can also do the same thing with a cloth. And in ancient Roman baths and that sort of stuff, they'd oil the body and then use like a strigil or a gua sha in Asian cultures. And then you're doing that to the skin with it. It's like a wooden tool or a horn or a piece of metal. And you scrape the oil off. And then you can go into your infrared sauna or your hot bath, soak the skin, and then come out. And you're oiling the body again fresh.
Okay, so take me through this. Hold up your book because you're obviously going to great
detail. There it is.
There you go. Renegade Beauty. I'm sure you can buy it.
It's thick.
Yeah, that's good.
There's over 500 citations, lots of poetry, but we got all the science to back it up.
No, that's awesome. Okay, take us through. You still shower in water.
Yeah, right? You're still showering, hopefully with the filter, right?
We do. Yeah.
Good. No chlorine, no fluoride coming on your body. So you've showered, you've bathed, you've hoped maybe even dry brush before that. And then your oil and you rub it all over your body. If you want to go that step further, especially before the sauna, you oil and then you basically you're scraping the skin, but it's gentle.
Okay. So stop right there.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for all of us right now because
yes.
I really do this. Because I understand the connection here. This is a health thing for me, ladies.
Yes.
This may be a beauty thing for you. And you know, for me, it's probably more of a health thing, but the good news is it's going to help us all. Okay. So
yes.
I get the science around how this affects our health. So I'm really serious about doing this. So, and I'm going to make my wife watch the show. Okay. I want us all to know how to do this. I can do, obviously every day I can't do my infrared sauna, right? But, I could do the sauna first and we can, you know, let's talk about what I would do before that, but let's talk about what I would do from my shower, in my shower and then after. And then also you're talking about oils. Can you get these oils? Where can I get the oils that you're using?
So if you don't, you know, just jojoba or real olive oil. And of course I make beautiful, beautiful oils. So we have a few, best skin ever we call it. So we've got sea buckthorn best skin ever, rose best skin ever, sandalwood best skin ever, frankincense best skin ever. So from the best skin ever family, those are your beautiful oils that you can do what we're talking about to wash your face, get out of the shower.
I'm going to make sure Revelation Health carries those darn oils.
Yes.
I want them myself. So
yes.
Okay. So let you can get them on Revelation Health. We'll get those oils because, okay. So now go through the pre-infrared sauna and then go through the shower process.
Okay. So if you were like, let's include the dry brushing because that's so great. And we even have, it took a while to find the perfect dry brush. And then I also found that's soft enough, but firm enough. Then we also have one with very, very fine copper bristles. And that's really energizing because it's working with ions. And so it is really cool. To upgrade that, we have a blend called Verve Tonic, which is a blend of oils that helps the lymph system.
Yeah.
It's a tonic for the lymph system. You can also use, if you have rosemary or cypress. You could put one, or frankincense, one drop on the palm of your hand, then you glide the brush over, and then you do your dry brushing, and then the lymph system's even loving it more and circulation's happening. So I would do that. Then I would oil with oil, not an essential oil, and oil the body.
You like,
and then
oil for that even, just, you know.
Yeah, just a big, just make sure it's real. Okay. And then you're scraping. So it's a, you can even on eBay, like you can just look up Gua Sha, G-U-A-S-H-A, and you can find so many beautiful teak wooden tools. And then it's like a, basically a wooden spatula.
Got it.
And then you just do that. It doesn't have to be hard, but then you're also, it's really good for the fascia. So you're doing that and you're kind of just scraping it. And you just, then you could have a cloth and then you can wipe, keep wiping the Gua Sha. And you're doing that, and then you go into the sauna, sweating it all out, yeah, which is great. And then you might have a cold shower or something afterwards. And then you would just take a little bit of oil and then oil up.
Yeah.
And you're good to go. So it's, right, it sounds kind of like there's a lot of steps, but it's also simple.
Okay. In the shower, instead of soap, you would use, yes, one of these oils, right? I mean, that's what you're saying. Rinse off with water and then use.
Yeah, and then, yes. And then the soap part's just for pits and bits and scrubbing your nails. And for that, you will also want to use a natural bar soap.
Okay. And you could use that in the pits and bits. Yeah. I like the pits, yeah, and the bits. I have a feeling I know what the bits are. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, but then the rest of your body, it's like.
Never. Like your thigh, your, yeah, legs, your arms, yeah, they never, heart, ever need soap.
My face, especially, you know.
Yes.
Right. And then you're saying you're just putting a little oil on a cloth and just. Yeah. Off. Do you do that in the shower or after you get out?
You can put it on your, either whatever you feel like. I'm a bath person, so I'm bathing and then hopping out and doing it. Okay. Or in the bath, you know, putting on honey and then, you know, having a moment with it. But so it's new. It's, so it sounds complicated because it's kind of new and we're not using soap, but it really is simplifying, because just using soap alone can create such a vicious cycle with the microbiome, and it's disrupting what they eat. So we're taking away the dead skin cells that they need to eat, the sebum, the ceramides, it's all being removed. And then we're starving the bacteria, yeah, along with putting antibiotics and cortisone cream. And then we're actually like killing species.
I sometimes get really mad when I get this new amazing piece of information, because I have to do it now. Right. It's like, yeah, now, because it's so funny how knowledge comes. I understand the connection of this microbiome to this microbiome, right? And this, yeah, one to that one, you know, and even how your brain works. So I understand that. And now I go, oh, of course, even natural soaps are destroying, you know, taking too much of the dead skin out, et cetera, all the food that those bacteria need. So we're killing the microbiome. So now I've got to do this, you know, dang, okay, I've got to do this now. So I'm going to do it.
Great. I can't wait. Well, we'll send you the best skin ever along with a book. So
yeah. I love when I have a guest on, they change my ways. You change my ways.
Yay.
Yeah, this is good stuff. All right. And then, like I said, so then after, of course, you're not going to be as dry either. So the need for,
yeah,
lotions would be obvious.
You'll find you'll need less and less oil to moisturize because your body's doing it. And then if we add in, so I always like to go back to the elements too, because I feel like that's what's missing from our existence, let alone our beauty, so to speak. So that's like water, the elements, you know, sun, water, earth, air. What are those elements? So we live right now so sequestered from these elements, right?
Not you. But,
yeah. Yeah. No. Well, yeah, I'm still got shelter in the house though, right? And then winter cuts me off a bit, but in the winter, I'll be opening up these doors and suntanning in my room and getting, you know, air baths and that kind of thing. So we have to really think, how can we further engage with the elements? Because we do cut it off. And actually, you know, our microbiome needs air, it needs sunshine. So here we're living in a culture where we're applying petroleum for beauty.
Yeah.
We are in our heated homes. We're not going outside. We're wearing hats to cover up the sun. We're showering in chlorine and we don't have fresh air. And then we're wearing like polyester underwear. And it's a disaster.
We wonder why we're so sick. I mean, what you just described is an absolute disaster. So, all right. So, I mean, obviously this process you described is helping seal, like I,
yes,
said, you know, our most important barrier. And of course, ladies, it ends in beauty. I mean, let's face it, right? I mean, healthy skin, hair is, you know, when you look at someone, you look beyond beauty first, and you look at health or no health. I look at someone, I can tell immediately if they're healthy or not. But when it's healthy, it's beauty all the time, right?
Yeah, it's like a glow.
Yeah, unhealthy is not beauty, right? So, you know, we can look at, we have different noses, different eyes, but when someone's healthy, they're always beautiful. I'm telling you, right? I mean, it's God's creation. So this is important stuff. Let's go inside to the gut.
Yes.
How do you seal the gut? What do you do? What's some of your methods?
Well, I'm sure you have a bazillion podcasts on how to do that.
This is a heal though, right? So I want the next trick. You just gave me the next trick for the skin.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do think you have to look at what you're eating and what's, you know, it could be corn, gluten, just GMOs. We have to eliminate that. And when we put things on our skin, the fact that our skin is like this, we got transdermal absorption, which is our kryptonite. And it's also a great thing that can service and nourish us, because whatever we put on our skin goes in. So you can allow what you put on every day to be a vehicle for your immune system. And, you know, when you have beauty care that's like rich in monoterpenes from plant extracts, that's like adding to your beauty. And like even the studies that now show monoterpenes are great for, you know, breast health and preventing the cells going down a path you don't want to go. I have a whole chapter on breast health in the book. But so when we put things in our skin, it's being absorbed, but it doesn't have the same system as when we're drinking or eating, because we've got the digestive system, the liver, the kidneys, to help process the toxins that we're ingesting. But with the skin, there's nothing. It goes right in and it ends up in our liver and it ends up everywhere. And so we have to think of our guts in connection. And so if our guts are backed up, if we've got congestion, we might have blackheads. Mm-hmm. If we've got a leaky gut, that may end up eczema or psoriasis. Even within the realm of health food, you know, an egg may not work for you. Cashews, it may not work for you. I've seen so many people clear up eczema and acne and psoriasis by eliminating cashews. But, you know, you don't know. So you have to keep testing and doing your own version of an elimination diet.
You know, my diet variation, we switch diets periodically and it's like things disappear. It's like, okay, you know, maybe there was something in that diet, you know, that it was affecting you. It's one way to, you know.
Yeah, we're constantly like that too, always.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so again, it's the connection between the skin and the gut that a lot of people aren't making. So what are some of your favorite, you know, tricks to help heal the gut lining, which so many people have? I mean, obviously, you said elimination. I mean, making that point, but then beyond that.
Probiotics and prebiotics so that we can feed. So we have to think of it. Yeah, we want to, I think of our bodies as like a bank account of bacteria, and we want to have diverse investments, so to speak. And you want to keep that whole microbiome bustling and diverse with species. So probiotics, prebiotics to feed the probiotics, fermented food, and then also working with things like aloe vera and colloidal silver can help with those initial stages of a leaky gut. You know, and then avoiding things is hard, but even things like magnesium stearate sometimes for some people can be an aggravator. Yeah. So you really, you know, self-knowledge is key, and you have to keep almost with every bite, every meal, you're tuning in. Because you're always, okay, so what do people say? What are the experts saying? And then there's just you and your experience. And you have to go back to that. We have to go into we've gotten information from external. We have to go inside and then sit with it. How do I feel like sleeping after I eat that? How am I waking up the next day? Are my eyes puffy? Is there a little congestion? And you will find your way through the food maze to what's working for your body in that moment or that season.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, my wife, that was one of the things, the puffiness, right? And how much of it was the bacteria creating it directly or her gut, you know, which was another connection. But that's the thing about these microbes here is they affect the gut and they affect directly, you know, our skin.
Totally.
Our skin.
And there's even a nose microbiome.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that was affecting her. I know she was trying everything to try to get rid of these like little puffy bags right there, which appeared, you know, but they're gone. So, I have to get personal a little bit. Yeah. So I'm just so curious about you because of where you live and the fact you started this when you were so young. Are you married?
I am.
Okay. Tell me about your husband. I was hoping you'd say, yeah. Tell me about your husband. How much of this does he do? You know, I mean, it's always fun. And if the answer is none of it, it doesn't surprise me either.
But oh, You would like him. I can just tell. So he's awesome. And he when we met, he was a full yogi. So he was, you know, teaching and that kind of stuff. And have you ever done Strength Finder tests?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we did ours. We find we have three in common, but one that we have in common is Maximizer. So that means we'll take everything we love into the nth degree and refine it.
Right?
That's why I'm so hardcore with what I create, right? And that's why it's the purest of the pure. So he's that too. He's a maximizer. So we do it all. We actually were signing up for your water fasting course in June. Yeah. So he's game. Anything, he's like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I'm like, I'm going to breastfeed forever. He's like, great, let's do it. You know, he's just anything. I'm having a home birth. Great. You know?
Yeah.
So he's in. He's great. A great partner.
I love, you know, maybe I can bring you on one of the shows and do a split screen Facebook Live and see how
That'd be so fun.
Yeah. You're a world changer, right? I mean, I can just tell. You've got it into you. Do you have kids?
Yeah. So I have a 10-year-old son, Leif, L-E-I-F. So I could get, you know, that fun nature name in, but have it kind of normal. yeah, he's great. He's homeschooled. He's hardcore about, he gets why we do all the things. He's never eaten candy. Him and Ron did a little video when he was 4 on GMOs.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah,
my kids were raised the same way. And then they did. They got to a certain age where they were like sneaking things at school. But here's the best part, right? We found this stuff out later, right? Of course. You know, we were doing this and we were doing but they said, you know, they all like kind of went out and all my kids.
They came back.
And my 14-year-old just recently, you know, and we had hands-off approach to him, right? Our older kids.
He's the fifth one.
We were like down in with them, right? Don't eat that. And they were like, man, you guys, you know, we couldn't even, you know, on the school cookie day. It was like, you know, you were pulling us back. The last one was like, you'll figure it out, right? He did. He came back. So
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm always wondering when that might happen, but he really sees us. We're fully there. So we're not like, you don't eat that. And then we're eating chips on our own or, you know what I mean? So it's very consistent and he sees the integrity.
Yeah. You know, that's why our kids came back. Our kids life, right? We live it, man. You know, if there was incongruencies, they wouldn't come back, right? They would just be like, they're not living it. I'm not living it. So that's great. All right. Well, tell me some of your favorite products, you know, that you use on your skin and, you know, that you think are even health related and orally. You talked about the gumdrops.
Yeah. I mean, we have a very, so what's neat too, is we have it all. Cause also people, cause I've been doing this for so long and people always want, if they're in, they're in and they're usually not going anywhere else. So I feel a duty to take care of every part of the body so that people can have pure stuff. And our oral care line is pretty extensive. We have a beautiful gel. It's an ozonated gel. And so we took our happy, healthy gumdrops and then we ozonated it. So we got an ozonated version, which is really great after you've had like extensive dental work.
Yeah,
we have wonderful paste, you know, with like charcoal paste and clay paste. And then what's quite unique is we have these dental serums and they're very concentrated. And that alone, you could ditch all your toothpaste and just use one of the dental serums by the drop, one drop on your brush. But what's also awesome is you take that drop and you slide it along your floss. And then you're flossing with that. And we have people that get rid of bleeding gums in one session with just getting it up there. If they've been bleeding when they've been flossing. Now, some people might take 2 weeks. You know, it's going to depend on the state of your health and your tissue vitality. But that really turns things around for people. I've also written out 8 steps that are really key for oral care that I highly recommend, you know, generally do it every day, but especially if you haven't been to the dentist for a while or you're going to, you know, do it solidly for about 3 months and then go to the dentist and it'll be, you know, a shorter trip, a less expensive trip. And just, it's great. I mean, we get emails every day about people that have really turned their oral care around or their dentist. What are you doing?
If you turn your oral care around, you're turning your health around. I can't, you know, how many heart attacks? Look, the science is so strong. I mean, you know, it's a friend of mine. He ended up having, he had a heart attack and they found oral microbes in his myocardium.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know what? basically were like, oh, do you have any periodontal disease? No. Okay. All right. I said, you need a cone beam. Got a cone beam, massive cavitation, right? Yeah. It's like, you know, he would ended up with another heart attack or stroke or, you know, whatever it is, but you fix this, you're fixing your body. So, you know, I want to try your stuff. Now I have a question for you.
Yes.
The ozone can be really good at times, but if you're doing it all the time, wouldn't that disrupt the oral microbiome?
Well, what it seems with things like hydrogen peroxide and again, you don't want to overuse that, salt, baking soda, ozone, and essential oils, is that studies are showing that they are the things that can bust through the biofilms and the toxins, the pathogens, but they're going to work with the good bacteria. So the hydrogen peroxide is going to clear things up. Now you don't use it too much because it can affect the enamel if you're using it every day, but there's an intelligence there in these natural materials that are able to keep the beneficial bacteria intact, but okay, clear up the microbes. So that's so key, because then we've got these potent things that are more effective at times than antibiotics, which is key because of, you know, everything.
Well, that was my concern, right? I mean, even some of the strong herbals can be,
yes,
a little disruptive for the microbiome if used every day, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so that's why I asked the question. But you're saying the ozone and the hydrogen peroxide, which is, you know, oxygen as well, is actually working with the oral microbiome. It is not as disruptive as we once thought.
No. And it's way different than, I mean, sodium lauryl sulfate, which is in every commercial toothpaste, that alone is making bleeding gums. Well, or the Listerine, like the alcohol, like that is just killing. That's like, you're just killing.
I think Dr. Jerry was on the show and, you know, he was against even xylitol. Now we know xylitol affects bacteria. He feels, and he's,
I'm thinking I'm probably going to agree with what you're, yeah, saying there.
Yeah. He feels it's too disruptive.
Well, and the studies that showed that it was effective were done by the xylitol people. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
I believe I have a citation about that in my book.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, stevia in that case would be a better sweetener, but here's the, yeah, point. And I think you'll agree with Jerry on this, is that, you know, you go into the health food store and think, I'm going to get a healthy toothpaste. Well, I see fluoride in half of them.
Yep.
I see a lot of things like, I mean, even like, what's it, the tea tree
yeah,
is, that's too strong for the oral microbiome, right?
I mean, the studies show otherwise. There's some great studies out of the dental journals, you know, I got to check, but like Australian Dental Journal or whatever. And they really show cleaning up the microbiome, getting rid of gingivitis, getting rid of general periodontal issues. So actually, I think some of that information hasn't gone deep enough into the lot of the great studies that have been done on taking care of the quorum sensing. But you're right. And things like even glycerin.
Yeah.
So glycerin seems so innocuous, but what it does for when it's in toothpaste is that it blocks the teeth from breathing, because it's another thing that sort of has an invisible coating. And then our saliva can't get to the teeth to do its job by bringing nutrients to the teeth. And even in skincare, and as a lubricant, because glycerin's like in a lot of lubricants, and I have a whole chapter on the vaginal microbiome and vaginal health. But this is where, if it's in skincare or we're using it for down there, then what's happening is there's a process called osmolarity. And then the cell releases its water to balance from the outside. So you've got a temporary in the moment hydration, plumping, but a long-term drought for the cell. And that under the microscope, the cells show to be shriveled. They're like cellular raisins. And then internally, the vaginal microbiome would be sloughing off more stuff. And then you've got more issues with being vulnerable to sexually transmitted diseases, for example.
Yeah.
Or if you're using it on your face, you're actually, you know, taking away the moisture for a long term. And on the teeth, mm-hmm, you're not allowing the breathability.
Right.
So really with anything we're doing to our body, we want to allow that breathability.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I believe that. Well, this is some great information, and we're going to make sure we carry those favorite products on Revelation Health. I want to try it myself. I'm very, very serious about my oral care. It cost me my life. I mean, honestly, I lost my health from amalgam fillings. You know, cavitations, root canal, had that out. I mean, I am here today because of what happened here in my body. So in the skin, I think that's a message you brought here very clearly, that it's this microbiome affects all of the other microbiome. This one affects this one and vice versa. So take care of them all. And I think your message was loud and clear too. It's a lot of the things that we're doing, even that we think are healthy, are destroying that microbiome.
Yeah. Right?
And we need to protect it. And you've done a lot of work. Hold up your book again and also give your website.
Here it is, Renegade Beauty. So it's on like our website, which is livinglibations.com. And it's the books on Amazon and that kind of stuff. And we're going to get our goods over to you so that, you know, you can, and I'll send you some stuff and we'll take care of your store.
Yeah, exactly. And, tell them to mention the show and, you know, we'll give them something off just to get them started on it. But that's great stuff. That's great stuff. And you're joining us on the fast, June 10th.
Yeah.
June 10th through the 14th. That's when we're fasting. It's Sunday through Thursday. And, you know, join us. We have at least 4,000 some people there. So
we'd already planned on that date, on that new moon. And then we found out you were doing the coaching and we're like, oh, we're in. That's great. Oh,
and that's a new moon, you said?
Yes. Oh, like in that week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I guess, wonder if there's some significance there. I mean, that's like, I just chose that randomly.
I feel like it's good, you know, to time things with the moon sometimes. And then what's also great, it's like kind of our last weeks of spring, right? Before we have solstice. So it just seems like the perfect time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is. It's like the solstice comes in and, you know, that's kind of neat. It's the new moon. Well, gosh, I knew God was behind that date. So there you have it. All right. Well, I'm so glad. And if I can, on Facebook, connect and then I'd love to bring on a split screen just to hear how your fast is going.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Yeah, there's nothing more natural than our fast. Our microbiome's reset, right? So those watching this, this would be during, you know, the fast. You don't want to be using caustic soap. And this would be the perfect time to start your program right there. Yes. After as well, especially the oral care, right? I mean, you want to do this. This fast would be a perfect time because what happens during a fast is you reset your microbiome. You know, honestly, it's like you're resetting all of your microbiome. So it literally is a perfect time.
That's a great time too to like do those steps because I feel like you want to be scraping your tongue, swishing with like baking soda and oils and like oil pulling, getting all that, you know, helping your body eliminate.
Yeah, we'll make sure we have that because I think, you know, doing that, starting this before the fast and during the fast, I think it's perfect timing. So, you know, make sure you get with the gals on getting that.
Yes,
so we'll promote it during the fast. What a great show. Thank you for being on. Thank you for all the information.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait for my wife and my son to watch it because they'll love it. So,
okay, take care.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.